Welcome to the Buckmaster Show for this Thursday. Here we are, first day of March already, 2012. Hope you're having a good day. If you're not, well, there's always tomorrow. It is Friday tomorrow. I am Bill Buckmaster, your host for the Buckmaster Show on KVOI. We call ourselves The Voice, and we are Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station. The station has lots of juice, lots of power, and we are heard in 8 of Arizona's 15 counties, thanks to our simulcast partners KJAA AM 1240 in Globe and KAPR AM 930 in Douglas. We live stream the show on my website, and that's buckmastershow.com, and at the station's website, kvoi.com. And we understand that not everyone can listen to our program live, so we've made it very convenient for you to sample any of the programs by logging on to any of 3 venues for 24/7, anytime, anywhere in the world listening. Again, my website, buckmastershow.com. Our friends at TucsonSentinel.com, that's Tucson's online news service, and TucsonCitizen.com, also carrying our program. We are live Monday through Friday from noon to 1. We will get things rolling this Thursday afternoon with a newsmaker interview. Dr. Gene Sander is with me in studio. He is president of the University of Arizona. 30 minutes past the hour, it's our CEO interview series presented by TRIO. Today we'll be talking with Bill Kelly. Mr. Kelly is the chief financial officer for Diamond Ventures. Then we'll close out the program with our monthly conversation. Once a month, we talk legal issues with attorney Don Luce of Luce Brown and Associates. Mr. Luce is the Buckmaster Show contributor on the law. We always encourage you to be part of the conversation. Our Buckmaster Show live line is now officially declared open for you, 790-2040, 790-2040. You can also email questions at buckmastershow.com or submit them using our Buckmaster Show Facebook page, which I am happy to say continues to grow as we push toward 2,000 friends of the show. And we're very proud of that. Not too bad since actually June 1st. If you have a story idea or a particular guest that you would like to hear interviewed, we encourage you to contact us. Now we begin with our opening newsmaker interview, and it is the University of Arizona president, Dr. Gene Sander. Dr. Sander, good to see you.
Yeah, thank you, Bill. Glad to be with you today.
Change in leadership at the University of Arizona. You will be handing over the reins to a new president of the University of Arizona. Her name is Dr. Ann Weaver Hart. Correct?
Absolutely. I'm very glad that Dr. Hart has elected to come to the University of Arizona. She's a very, very accomplished university leader, having served as the president both at the University of New Hampshire and now at Temple University. As I say, I've had a chance to meet her several times. She's a real person and a person that I think will do an exceptional job of taking the university the next step in its goal for excellence.
Is she the kind of lady that is accessible, that the public will be able to, come up and say hello and get to know, kind of like the new football coach, who I think is going to be very accessible and already has been?
Yes, indeed. At least my experience with Ann is that she is very accessible. She's a very outgoing, warm woman. And my guess is that is going to be the kind of person that's really going to want to integrate herself into the Tucson community. For example, when she was at Temple, one of the principal things she had to do was work with a very large and very complex city. And I think that in
Philadelphia,
absolutely. And I believe that here in this community, she'll do a good job of doing that. I know already she's expressed to me an interest in essentially taking a road trip and visiting all the counties in Arizona, getting to know the county government people, the extension people. Actually, I'm pleased that I'm going to be able to help her do that. I feel that based on my long-term experience as Dean of the College of Agriculture, why I can do that about as well as anyone. And I think it'll be a great thing for our university to have a new president that's really interested in getting out there and meeting the people in Arizona.
Well, you've got some contacts in all the counties. I mean, you were with the Ag Extension. You know a lot of people.
Yeah, after 25 years, well, you tend to get to know people, that's for sure. There's the old joke, you know, you concentrate your enemies and dilute your friends, but I think it's safe to say I have a suitable number of friends that will help Dr. Hart get to know something about Arizona in a relatively quick period of time.
Dr. Gene Sander is with us. He is the 20th president of the university. He became so last summer when Dr. Robert Shelton went up to head up the Fiesta Bowl. If you have any comments or questions about the University of Arizona, now would be a wonderful time to call us at 790-2040. Dr. Sander would be delighted to entertain any and all questions you might have. Getting back, just one more comment about Dr. Hart. We were talking on our Friday Reporters Roundtable, and one of our reporter guests said, well, she's coming from a smaller school. And one of our listeners was very quick to correct us that the Temple University system is quite extensive.
Yes, indeed. Temple is it's a bit different than the University of Arizona in that it's a non-land grant, but that's okay because, you see, she was the president of New Hampshire, which is a land grant and has the extension services and the presence in all the counties. But the major thing is Temple is a university of about 37,000+ students. It has a major medical school. It has all the professional schools that we do. And indeed, I think it's going to serve us very, very well. Her experience will serve us very well here at the university. It is definitely not a smaller school in any way, shape, or form. You mentioned the business of multiple campuses. To tell you the truth, I'd never heard the number that you just mentioned, but indeed, I would imagine that to be the situation because, again, it is located in probably Ann's term, one of the grittier parts of Philadelphia. So, indeed, the challenges she's had there in terms of managing that university in Philadelphia will serve her, I think, very well in the Tucson area, which my guess is a lot friendlier urban community than Philadelphia.
The university presidents, along with the Board of Regents, have passed a resolution opposing this bill that would allow firearms on campus. Let's talk about that for a few minutes, Dr. Sander. First of all, there was a piece in today's Arizona Republic about the cost of guns on campus, just kind of what it would cost the University of Arizona. I think it's millions of dollars.
Yeah, it's a very large number. Bill, I wish I had the number with me.
I think it's,
I know we've been through it.
It's millions.
I can tell you the issues are as follows. First of all, we would have to provide a gun locker so that any person carrying a weapon would have a place to store it before they come in our buildings. That also means then that we have to worry about somebody watching the lockers to make sure that the weapons really are secure in the locker. And so it just snowballs. It really is poor legislation in every way, shape, or form. I've gone out and I've been in opposition to it. Our police chiefs are in opposition to it. Everybody says, well, universities, you know, the kind of liberal people that don't support the Second Amendment, be assured, I support the Second Amendment. I own guns. On the other hand, I own them and I use them for all the proper purposes. And I must admit, the idea of carrying weapons on our campus where we have K-12 kids, where we have students, where we have all kinds of activities going on, it just isn't appropriate and it's poor legislation. I sincerely hope that the Arizona legislature will defeat that bill and defeat it soundly.
Then there is the impact, the potential impact of recruiting faculty and students, which is a challenge in itself to get good faculty to come to any university these days. You've got to put together a really good package. The students are going to look at this. The parents of the students are going to look at this guns on campus.
Sure.
And what do you think they're going to
say? Well, I'd just ask anybody the question. If you were sending your daughter from California to come to the University of Arizona, would you necessarily feel it a safer place because we had people carrying weapons on our campus? I don't think so. I can tell you my daughter would have gone some other place. And I think that would really hurt us and hurt us badly because, again, you know, we've developed a reputation as being a really, really high-quality university where people from all over the nation send their students here. We do an excellent job of providing them an education, and that's just the sort of thing that we don't need to enhance our reputation or, for that matter, enhance the reputation of the whole state of Arizona. The issue of faculty recruiting. Yeah, I can tell you there's a fair number of our faculty that really, really feel very, very strongly about this whole thing. And I'll guarantee you we will lose some faculty as a function of this, and recruiting new ones will even be more difficult than it is right now.
Perhaps you disagree with Dr. Sander. You can join in the conversation, 790-2040, or perhaps you agree. Whatever you'd like to talk about related to the University of Arizona, you can join us on the Buckmaster Show live line. Rose, my producer, Rose, why don't we take the break right here, if that's okay, before I segue into the tuition issue with Dr. Sander, because that will be coming up next as we continue with the Buckmaster Show on this Thursday afternoon on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice and The Voice Network Station. Stay with us. Two of the world's largest pharmaceutical giants, Roche's Ventana Medical Systems and Sanofi, know where bio works. It works at Innovation Park in Oro Valley, one of the 10 best towns for families, according to Family Circle magazine. Bioscience and bioindustry, working together at Innovation Park with 275 acres of inspiring environment ready for bio development. Learn more about where bio works at innovationparkaz.com. Noble Hops Gastro Pub is for people who revere their beer and their food. Noble Hops specializes in high-quality, delicious food and offers an impressive, ever-changing selection of handcrafted beers from around the world with more than 24 on tap. Noble Hops, a pub for foodies at the southeast corner of La Canada and Lambert in Oro Valley, and always on the web at noblehopspub.com and on Facebook.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of healthcare in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencia and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
12:19 on the Buckmaster Show, and this portion of our show is presented by our friends at Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley, a true continuing care retirement community. You can find out more at SplendidoTucson.com. Dr. Gene Sander, the president of the University of Arizona, is with me in studio. And Dr. Sander, we were talking about a little bit about recruitment and how having guns on campus certainly could impact recruiting top faculty and students to come to the University of Arizona. When a professor comes to the University of Arizona, it's usually an issue about the spouse, isn't it?
Yes.
Finding employment for the spouse, perhaps the spouse is leaving a very high-paying job somewhere else. And I see that TREO, Tucson Regional Economic Opportunities, has launched a joint program with the University of Arizona, something called Gateway Tucson. It's a new initiative to support the attraction and retention of key professional talent in Southern Arizona.
Yeah, that will be a great deal of help to the university, and I would imagine to other places in the city where there's a need to find employment for a highly educated and a spouse. I know at the university, hardly a month goes by that we don't, at least as a dean, I wasn't working with another dean trying to solve a problem like that. I can tell you from a personal standpoint, my wife, Dr. Louise Canfield, excellent biochemist, we would not be in Arizona right now had there not been an opportunity for Louise, because she had a career actually before she had me. And the point I'm making is that we decided a long time ago that we would end up where both of us could have satisfying careers, and it turned out to be the case that was here at the University of Arizona, and after 24 years it was still serving us quite well. But I can guarantee you we would have stayed in Texas before we ever thought about moving had there not been at least an opportunity for Louise to be considered for something that she could continue to have her excellent career.
Dr. Sander is with us, president of the University of Arizona. Let's talk a little bit about tuition. For the first time in years, most students in the state's three state universities will not be facing higher tuition rates next school year.
Yes, we thought long and hard about that. Actually, one of our original thoughts on the matter was sort of a standard across the board 3% increase in tuition, which if you take into account inflation is really no increase in usable income for the university. On the other hand, when we look back historically at the situation, our need to increase tuition fairly dramatically is a function of the dramatic decreases in appropriated money from the state legislature. We simply felt that it was time, if at all possible, to sort of give everybody a breather from large increases in tuition. And, of course, the other issue that really bothers us is that Proposition 100, which is the increase in sales tax, the temporary increase in sales tax, will expire next year, and that could leave a lot of money off the table, principally for K-12. But on the other hand, when K-12 sneezes, the university really catches cold. And so, again, the same issue held that we were really concerned what might happen next year and decided that it would be better off for all concerned if we were to simply recommend a very small increase in tuition this year.
There is a factor outside of the control of the regents and the universities that could have some indirect bearing on tuition. Last week, the House Appropriations Committee approved a measure designed to prevent most students with financial needs from getting a full ride for their tuition.
Yes, that was a great deal of concern to us. But I heard just yesterday afternoon that Representative Kavanaugh, who was the sponsor of that bill, has elected not to go forward with it. So thank you, Representative Kavanaugh. That, in our opinion, would have really hurt us badly in terms of trying to help those students where access to the university simply would not have been possible had they been forced to come up with $2,000 toward their own tuition. So, again, we were very relieved that wisdom prevailed and that bill was withdrawn from further consideration.
You had an op-ed piece in the Arizona Republic recently, I think it was February 17th, saying the legislature should invest in the UA medical program. And I see now that Representative Ted Vogt Republican from Tucson has introduced legislation. This is seeking a $15 million appropriation that he says would allow the UA's medical, pharmacy, and public health programs in downtown Phoenix to turn out more healthcare professionals.
Yes, we when we submitted our budget to the Arizona Regents, it included $15 million to take care of finishing up the funding for the Phoenix for the medical school in Phoenix, as well as some money for both pharmacy and public health. We think that to be really, really very important. We are at a point with the medical school in Phoenix where we're about to complete the building that's under construction. We're about to increase the class size. And the agreement, although you don't have agreements with legislatures from year to year to year, sort of the gentleman's agreement we had was that we would start off with a $12 million appropriation. We would take 48 medical students. We would get started. Then another $12 million appropriation specifically for the medical school would be made available. And then we would be in a position where we could increase the class size first to 80 and then probably in the neighborhood to 100 and maybe even over 100 students per class. That would be a great thing for Arizona. On the other hand, we're at a point now where we've done our part, and we would hope that with the recovery of the economy here in Arizona that the legislature would see fit to be able to fund the remaining $12 million for that med school.
This program is heard in many small communities, Dr. Sander, throughout from one end of southern Arizona to the other, and I don't need to tell those listeners who are living in small towns, there is a shortage of medical professions that really has become acute outside of the big cities. I mean, even in some of the big cities here in Tucson and Phoenix, there are shortages in certain specialties.
Yes, yes, absolutely. If you stop and think about what we would currently be able to do, we currently take in about 110 medical students to our class here in Tucson. You figure another 100 up in Phoenix, that would be 200. Then, of course, Mayo is coming in with another medical school program, which would add another 48 to 50 medical students. That would be just about 250 medical students with the associated residency programs that go along with them, which would be about what states of our size elsewhere in the nation have in terms of their total capacity to educate young physicians. And so we believe that this is really important. And as you mentioned, Bill, one always thinks about the issue of a doctor in a rural community. But on the other hand, when it comes to all of the various specialties of medicine that are now out there and available where the need is great, it's difficult no matter where. I just returned from Yuma this morning and was visiting with people in a very, very nice medical center they have down in Yuma. And there, again, has been a problem as they've increased and tried to increase their health care capacity down there. The need for more physicians in Arizona is, again, very evident as they try to stock and as they try to fuel up and make go a really first-class medical facility they've built. Now the question is, where does all the high-end manpower come from? And that's what we're in the business to do, to provide those educated young people that can meet those needs.
You know, I was just thinking about the transition that will be awaiting you with the new president coming in. And I would think that one of the major issues on the new president's plate is going to be this whole future of privatization becoming more and more a factor in the state university system.
Well, Bill, we're at a point right now when I came to Arizona back in the late 80s, we were looking at well over 50% of our budget, and I'm talking about from all sources, was part of the appropriation from the general fund from the state of Arizona. Over the years, that's deteriorated. Finally, the last go-around, when we lost $180 million out of our budget in a three-year period of time, we're now down to a point where the total percentage of our budget that comes from state appropriation is only 16%.
Is it really that low?
One
now?
Could argue, wow, under those circumstances, how do you define privatization? We can surely tell you that the bulk of the money for what we do, including all of our research grants and all of the other activities where we bring in federal money, no longer is highly dependent upon the state, although that 16% is terribly important because it's sort of a bedrock upon which we build everything else. Now, again, if you had decreases again of anywhere close to that magnitude in terms of real money, we would be at a point where essentially we would be almost privatized. I think that is happening across the nation. We have certain public university where there's been privatization of things like their colleges of business, their colleges of law. The professional schools are the first place that generally happens.
Yeah, that's coming. That day is coming, isn't it?
I believe so, yes.
Dr. Sander, good to see you. Thanks for being with us. And
thank
we'll
you,
talk
Bob.
Again while you are still the president up until the till July. Is it July?
July 1st.
Okay. Have a great afternoon.
You bet. Thank you,
Thanks
Bill.
Thanks a lot. Stay with us. We're going to be talking about economic development here on The Buckmaster Show, the Thursday afternoon edition on KVOI AM 1030, The Voice.
SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington.
The U.S. expressing its relief that Egypt has lifted a travel ban against seven American democracy workers, allowing them to leave the country. The travel ban lifted after the U.S. government paid $5 million bail. The Senate refuses to roll back President Obama's policy on contraception coverage, specifically the requirement that insurers cover the cost of birth control. Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke says he remains concerned that long-term unemployment will reduce the nation's supply of skilled workers. A man whose internet investigations targeted politicians and mainstream journalism has died. Andrew Breitbart was 43. Wall Street, the Dow up 34 points, 12,986. The NASDAQ ahead 26. More details at srnnews.com.
With 275 acres of stunning environment, Innovation Park in Oro Valley is ready for development. Already two of the world's largest pharmaceuticals, Roche's Ventana Medical Systems and Sanofi, are settled in Innovation Park. Innovation Park, a great place to do business in Oro Valley, named one of the 10 best towns for families by Family Circle magazine. Find out more at innovationparkaz.com.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including five major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencia and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Ever notice how much time you spend just getting where you want to go? Travel hassles, long drives, expensive parking can all ruin your trip and create a miserable experience. Tucson International Airport has the answer. With close, easy parking, quick check-in, a short walk to your gate, and airport amenities that make traveling stress-free and enjoyable. With nonstop destinations and connections around the world, for business or for pleasure, fly TucsonAirport.com. It's the way to go.
Three. on the Buckmaster Show. And every 3 weeks here on the Buckmaster Show, we introduce you to a leader of one of Arizona's largest companies and organizations. It's the CEO interview series on the Buckmaster Show, presented by Trio, offering programs and services to expand the support and attraction of expansion of companies that offer primarily high-wage jobs to our citizens. Since 2005, Trio has facilitated the relocation and or expansion of more than 40 companies in the Tucson area, representing nearly 11,000 jobs and a $2 billion economic impact. For more information, visit Trio. That's T-R-E-O. AZ.org. And today we talk with Bill Kelly. Bill is the Chief Financial Officer for Diamond Ventures. Bill's responsible for overseeing the financing and economic feasibility for all of the firm's real estate portfolio. In addition, he directly manages the company's commercial, industrial, and mixed-use assets. Bill Kelly has been at Diamond Ventures, and he's been working on economic development efforts, most notable Trio's success project being the Target Internet Fulfillment Center on Reeder Road and I-10. Mr. Kelly is a member of the DM50, the Business Community Support Organization for Davis Mountain Air Force Base, and he's active in a variety of other committees and boards, including the Trio board. Bill, good to see you.
Thank you for having me.
Tell me a little bit about what Diamond Ventures is up to these days. What are you investing in? What projects do you have going on?
Well, we are the largest land development company in Southern Arizona, and blessed with a variety of investments that give us a platform to work in a time when the core projects that we have, the residential, have really slowed down. So we've been very active with our office portfolio. We think this is a very good time to invest. We're actively acquiring properties throughout Arizona, in fact. We've purchased custom lots in Payson and Sedona. We've bought improved commercial land and industrial land in Tucson and Marana. And we've bought a couple of office projects here in Tucson and one in Flagstaff.
So when the residential market went south, Bill, when the market's 2008, that area, and we're still recovering really in the residential, did you move to other directions more in commercial? Or?
Well, again, we have a diversified portfolio that allows us to move in and out of sectors as the one may be, you know, in good operating condition and others may not. Now, the other thing that we've done and that's of note is that we're out there actively acquiring interests in tech companies. We've been very successful in the past, and in fact, this last year, one of the investments that we've made was acquired by IBM. And it was a very successful transaction for us, and we're looking to do a lot more of that. We're actively, you know, looking at technology companies, many of which are coming out of the University of Arizona, in fact.
Yeah, I mean, bioscience is a huge area, and it's a good industry for this community, as is aerospace and Raytheon. And Raytheon, there was a lot of concern in the community, Bill Kelly, when Raytheon took looked at Hunt and did decide on Huntsville, Alabama, for expansion. You went back to Huntsville, didn't you?
I did. It was a Trio trade mission that went back to Huntsville to understand what exactly, you know, worked there and how could we emulate some of their practices to bring them to Tucson. And one of the things that was very compelling to me was how every member of the community spoke with a similar voice, and the proactive ways that the city of Huntsville viewed its operating base of defense industry. They developed a business park called the Cummings Business Park. It employs 25,000 people now. This is in addition to the Redstone Arsenal that is the home of our rocket program, mm-hmm. The United States rocket program. And every defense contractor that you can imagine has a facility there. The community supports it at every level, from the local level to the state to the federal level. And so I think it's a good model for us to emulate. And we do have, with Raytheon here, we do have sort of the infrastructure in place to take advantage of it. And I think the whole aerospace and defense corridor that the county and specifically Chuck Huckleberry has promoted is a good thing.
Yeah, Mr. Huckleberry moved forward with that plan. I don't know the exact acres, Bill Kelly, that are involved there, but it is some substantial land around the Raytheon facility, land that they really want as a buffer, and so they've got to be pleased with that.
Oh, most definitely. And I think there's other elements of our aerospace that we need to, you know, be attentive to. The Air Guard, with its operation here, is the largest Air Guard operation in the country. Davis-Monthan, Fort Huachuca. The things that go on there are amazing. And let me bring into this equation an observation that I had with respect to when we did the Target.com deal. Here is Target, a Fortune 50 company that selected Tucson to invest over $100 million for its internet fulfillment center, which is now operational and located out on Rita Road near I-10, right across from
– It doesn't get a lot of publicity, but this is huge.
It is. And it's right across the street from the U of A Science and Tech Park. You know, Bruce Wright and his group out there have done a very good job with what goes on out there. We work very closely with them on a project called the Tucson Tech Corridor that is a promotion of that area, that corridor along I-10 near the Tech Park. But one of the interesting things about the Target deal that I observed was they're very interested in hiring people exiting from the military. And I think when you look at recruitment of companies, their number one priority in coming to any place is the trained workforce that's available. And we have an amazing trained workforce that is exiting the military at Fort Huachuca, at Davis-Monthan, at the Air National Guard, that we need to promote better. And we're looking to do that with TRIO and the base organizations.
That's a good idea. That's a great opportunity somehow to get the word out to these people who are nearing retirement, who are leaving, exiting at Fort Huachuca and at Davis-Monthan, that they're, you know, before you leave our community, here are some possible opportunities for you.
Well, so much of my observation is relates to a personal experience. I grew up here in Tucson, and so many of my friends and buddies at school were related to the military, and they stayed here. And we're talking about people who not only exit from retirement, but also just as a, you know, do a 5-year stint in the Army.
Yeah,
and
they're
the
young. They're fairly young people then when they're getting out of the military.
And employers love them. They're trained. They're disciplined. They are really a resource for our community. I'm on the DM-50, and I get a chance from time to time to be out at the base and interact with these young people. And we are all very, very proud of them. There was just a recent announcement that GE is going to hire 5,000 vets.
Really?
Yeah, so that's a further indication of how valued they are to corporate America.
Well, we like to hear that. Bill Kelly is the Chief Financial Officer for Diamond Ventures here in Tucson. He's a member of the board of TRIO, the Tucson Regional Economic Opportunities, which presents our every 3 weeks we do our CEO interview series. So you would say right now that a highly trained workforce, an educated workforce, these are all keys to getting new business and economic development here.
Well, when you rank them by importance in terms of criteria from site selectors, that's the top the thing. You know, what is the workforce availability in a community where we're looking at to move and expand? You know, there's a number of other issues that come into play, but that's certainly number one. Infrastructure, that's in and around the community to get people to and from work is very important to them. We're blessed here with the University of Arizona and that provides the workforce that it provides us with the emerging technologies that we have growing in Tucson. And then you have there's always the sort of elephant in the living room. What incentives does it take to bring companies here? And it's hard to, it's hard to give companies breaks, but sometimes it's very important to make deals. And I think that's getting better with, the Arizona Commerce Authority and the funds that they now have available to close deals.
Is this port at Guaymas, the deep water port, is that going to help us eventually?
Most definitely. I think the other thing that's in addition to that deep water port down there that's important to realize is Mexico, the Sonoran state of Mexico, is very, very active in aerospace and in automotive. The Hermosillo plant, I think, produces something like 300,000 units a year. The growing middle class in Sonora is really a benefit to the United States and most specifically Tucson. I think that it's an infrastructure issue for us. We need goods and services to flow through Mexico, through Nogales, and we need to make that wait at the border a more efficient and less timely, less time taking. And if we don't, it will, the goods and services will move over to the east and west of us. But I think, I think what is it? Something like $1,500 is in every person's pockets when they come to visit from Mexico. And
yep.
So we really need to view Mexico as a resource.
And I know our friends at Tucson International Airport are doing their best to get some air service to restore air service to between Tucson and Sonora. Bill Kelly, a pleasure talking with you. Bill Kelly, Chief Financial Officer for Diamond Ventures. Thanks, Bill.
Thank you.
Bill Kelly with us on the Buckmaster Show, our Trio Interview Series, CEO Interview Series with Mr. Kelly. 12:45 now on the Buckmaster Show. Our legal advisor, Don Luce, is coming up. Some very interesting things, including some new developments on SB 1070. That's next on the Buckmaster Show. Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for fresh and healthy pizzas, pastas, paninis, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is handcrafted using the finest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore's award-winning wood-fired pizzas, certified authentic by the world-renowned Verace Pizza Napolitana Academy, is pizza perfection. Vero Amore, North Swan at Camp Lowell, and in Marana at Dove Mountain, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com and on Facebook.
Dragonfly Village is in the midst of a capital campaign to build a 12-building village on a portion of the Amity Foundation's Circle Tree Ranch to reunite children in need with their families. Upon completion, the village will have housing for 100 families annually. Please be a part of making the Dragonfly Village dream a reality. Find out more at dragonflyvillage.org. That's dragonflyvillage.org.
There are times when you save, and there are times when you
save big.
Whoa. Take vehicle loans, for instance. Any time of the year, Pyramid Federal Credit Union can help you save with lower rates. But now, for a limited time, we're helping you
save big.
That means rates as low as 4.5% APR when you buy or refinance a vehicle loan. Plus terms up to 60 months, whether it's new or used. You won't just save. You'll
save big.
That never gets old. Stop by any Pyramid Federal Credit Union or visit us at pyramidfcu.com to learn more. That's 4.5% APR vehicle loans for a limited time. Plus, save another 0.25% with payment options.
That's huge.
Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life. Learn more at pyramidfcu.com. 4.5% APR on vehicle loans for a limited time. Restrictions may apply. Membership eligibility required. NCUA insured.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowell and Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. East Fort Lowell and Dodge for Karimi Oriental Rugs and KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
.1241 on the Buckmaster Show, and I am Bill Buckmaster on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. Also want to direct you to our website, buckmastershow.com. Check that out. Well, attorney Don Luce of Luce Brown & Associates, with offices here in Tucson and Phoenix, joins us once a month. He is always with us on the first Thursday of the month, and it is March 1st. It's a Thursday, and that means Don Luce is with us. Mr. Luce is the Buckmaster Show legal contributor and author of two very popular books, Arizona Laws 101, A Handbook for Non-Lawyers and Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know. Don, good to see you.
Thanks, Bill. Great to be back.
Lots of news, front page stuff. There's never a shortage of legal issues to talk about.
Not in Arizona. Arizona is a great state for legal and political issues.
If we were doing this program in Omaha, we'd probably bring you in once a year.
Right. It would be an annual visit.
Any changes? Well, not this year. Let's get right into SB 1070. This is a federal judge striking down the day labor section of 1070. Don, what is this all about?
This is basically an extension of the preliminary injunction that Judge Bolton issued 2 years ago when she struck down a half a dozen or so provisions of SB 1070. By way of background, Bill, this legislation was challenged almost immediately. A determination, interestingly, has never been made as to whether it's legal or not, but the federal judge in Phoenix has basically said that the majority of the provisions in SB 1070 cannot be given effect until we have a trial to determine if it's legal or not. And so it's on hold. But what happened here was this day labor provision was not part of the original preliminary injunction 2 years ago, because there was a case out of the Ninth Circuit, which Judge Bolton relied on, that said a 1984 Phoenix ordinance, which was very similar, was okay. And so she relied on that case and said, we're not going to include that in the injunction. And then the Ninth Circuit reversed itself and said, we made a mistake in our earlier ruling. These types of provisions are not okay. And so with this reversal from the Ninth Circuit, which Arizona is a part of, Judge Bolton went ahead and included the day labor provision in the injunction. Now, this means that it is not illegal to enter a car stopped in traffic or to pick up laborers while you're stopped.
Huh.
So the state was arguing that, look, the state has a legitimate governmental interest in, you know, controlling traffic, making sure that the public safety is served. And Judge Bolton said, look, we know what the real purpose of this is, and based on the legislative intent as stated in the legislation, this is not a proper governmental interest that I'm going to sanction. So,
and the judge saying, in effect, being a day laborer is not a crime.
That is not a crime, nor is it a crime to hire a day laborer and stop your car and pick one up.
And it's interesting that this ruling, Don Luce, comes less than 2 months before the U.S. Supreme Court is set to consider Judge Bolton's earlier ruling, which affects provisions aimed at giving police more power to detain and arrest illegal immigrants.
That's right. The case which Judge Bolton originally heard 2 years ago will now be heard by the United States Supreme Court in April. And what the justices are going to decide essentially is whether this legislation is going to stand or is going to fall. And it's coming off of another case from Arizona, the employer sanctions law, which the Supreme Court heard last term and interestingly upheld. They said the state has a legitimate interest in making sure that employees are legally eligible to work, and that that scheme that the legislature put into place was constitutional. So it'll be interesting to see what the court does with SB 1070, because in many respects, the two pieces of legislation are very similar, at least from the constitutional perspective.
Don Luce is with us, attorney. He is our contributor on the law on the Buckmaster Show, visits with us once a month. And now there's a free speech issue. Don Luce, state senators in Phoenix have voted to let parents of students in low-rated schools force the governing board to shut them down, convert them to charter schools, or replace the principals. Now, where this gets into free speech, bills that could punish teachers for foul language or biased instruction.
This is very interesting proposed legislation. It comes out of the Senate. There are actually four Senate bills that deal with this parent empowerment concept, and these four bills generally are targeted at low performing schools, and they grade the schools on an A through F scale. By the way, 13% of the schools get the lowest grade. So there are a lot of schools here, almost 200 that would be subject to this legislation. But anyway, SB 1204, which was proposed by Senator Lori Klein, is on its way to the House. It passed the Senate by a vote of 16-14, and what it says is, if your child goes to a low-rated school. And as I said, 200 schools have grades of D, basically. Mm-hmm. Then the parents are going to have rights. They can force the governing board to shut the school, convert the school to a charter school, or replace the principal. Now, there are three other bills that are very similar that are still subject to floor debate and a final roll call vote. In other words, they haven't yet been passed by the Senate, but they may be. And one of those bills, which you were talking about, mm-hmm. free speech, says that a teacher can have his or her certificate revoked if they promote any partisan doctrine or conduct any unipartisan exercises. Well, the opponents of this say that's so broad that nobody would even know what that means, and it would have a chilling effect on the teaching activity. Another one of the bills, SB 1205, mandates the firing of any teacher who uses language the FCC has considered obscene. You know, this is the mm-hmm. old dirty words,
yes,
thing.
The list of seven dirty words.
Correct. And SB 1203 forbids teachers from using any text or materials in the classrooms that have not been first approved by the school board. So very interesting concepts, seemingly at odds with some First Amendment principles. And again, I would suggest that if this legislation, in fact, does get passed, there are going to probably be some First Amendment challenges.
Quickly, running out of time. Time goes so quickly with you, Don Luce, but Arizona lawmakers are seeking broader protections for acts of religious conscience. So we're just talking about free speech issues now.
Another religion. First Amendment issue. The First Amendment protects freedom of speech as well as freedom of religion. This legislation, which is Senate Bill 1365, is closely related to legislation that was enacted about 3 years ago when the legislature said to pharmacists and doctors, even though you are licensed by the state to provide health care, you do not have to dispense the morning after pill if you have a religious objection to doing so. SB 1365, similarly, is intended to afford new legal protections to professionals who act or refuse to do things that violate their sincerely held religious beliefs. So, you know, this is going to be really interesting because the argument might be what is a sincerely held religious belief? And if you one of the opponents had used this as an example, if you as a police officer have a sincerely held religious belief that prevents you from doing your job, can you without any consequence refuse to act or to do something that you ought to do as a law enforcement officer? So this is going to be very interesting too, because this standard is, in my estimation, kind of subjective.
Don Luce is with us and joins us at least once a month. Mr. Luce, author of two very popular books, Arizona Laws 101, A Handbook for Non-Lawyers, and Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know. Don Luce, always good to see you. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Bill. Great to be here.
Don Luce of Luce Brown and Associates with offices in Tucson and Phoenix. If you're looking for a wonderful CPA, and who isn't during this tax season, I would like to recommend Michael C. Flowers. Mr. Flowers is at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com. Flowers and Rieger, that's R-I-E-G-E-R, the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. That's going to do it for this Thursday edition. We will be with you tomorrow with our Friday Focus interview. We'll be talking about the RTA and transit. Jim DeGrood will be with us as our Friday Focus interview from RTA. Have a great afternoon.
KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. 930 KAPR Douglas. And 1240 KJAA Globe, the Voice Radio Network.